Charles Woodson, Desmond Howard, Denard Robinson, Timanga Biakabatuka, from Yost to Harbaugh, passed down from generation to generation, Michigan football has stood the test of time. What's that feeling you get when you catch your first glimpse of the big house? When you hear, "And take the field." When you see the team emerge from the tunnel, sprint across the field, and touch that famed M-Go Blue banner. Saturdays in the fall, tailgates with friends and family, favorite players, favorite teams, and unforgettable moments. A lifetime of memories. College football in 2020 may be unique, but it has arrived at the corner of Stadium and Main, which is where you can find Michael Spath and Justin Rowe sharing their analysis, their stories, and their emotions about this year's Wolverine. This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.
Hey, welcome to the Stadium and Main podcast. I am Michael Spath with a special edition here today. We're going to be talking to a couple of former Michigan hockey players, Tony Calderon and Nico Pericos, played for the Wolverines from 2015 to 2018. The transition from Red Berenson to Mel Pearson. They were on Mel Pearson's team that made it to the Frozen Four. And they're going to give us some insights. I've been looking for hockey guys to talk about this team off to a great start this year, 5-3, outstanding play consistently from goalie Strauss Mann. We'll get into all that. And so these two guys were happy to jump on and to help us talk about this Michigan hockey team. And also we're going to hear from them. They've started a new business called MeCommerce. We're going to talk to them about their business and how they might be able to help you. So guys, thanks very much for joining me here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
So guys, you know, obviously you were on that, that Mel Pearson team that went to the Frozen Four and got things jump-started. And you know, kind of just take me a little bit through the culture that the Mel established then and what you think he's established these last couple of years. Obviously, you know, 2 years was 2 years ago was, you know, kind of, I don't want to say a sophomore slump, but a lot of times, you know, a program can take a little bit of a step back. Last year, it seemed like they were back on that track and were going to make some noise. And then COVID came through and wiped out the end of the season. And now we find this team, young team, super talented and a lot of fun to watch and look like they could be a legit Frozen Four team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've watched a couple of the games here together, and we've talked a lot about it. It reminds us of our freshman year team. We had all the skill and talent in the world. We had Dylan Larkin, Zach Rensky, Zach Hyman. We had a very deep team, and it kind of reminds us a lot of them. The difference is they have five freshmen kind of contributing now, so it's been really fun to watch, and I think it's going to be hopefully a little better outcome than our freshman year, but I think they have the potential to go far, and it'll be exciting to watch.
Nico, what do you like about this team so far?
I love how talented they are. They're exciting to watch. You know, it's the same thing of, I think, our sophomore year where we had the CCM line, right? Like, we're winning games 7-6, but I'd say they're very strong defensively too. They have all the tools. It's just a matter of, you know, staying together, making sure they have a good team camaraderie, and pushing through. I think it reminds me a lot of the teams that we were on, and it's typically we would start off not the best, I think, most of the years we had, and then we would come into a momentum swing, have that underdog mentality going to the second half of the year, which worked in our favor, obviously, our senior year. But it's coming off to a hot start in the beginning. If they can ride this all the way through, it'll make their jobs a whole lot easier going into the final or the, you know, playoff rounds.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that. And so, you know, it seemingly was a consistent theme the last couple of years of Red and the first couple of years of Mel, slow starts. And then, you know, Red used to always say, like, hey, we got to be our best team in February and our best team in March. And traditionally, Michigan hockey did peak. But, you know, if you don't dig yourself in a hole, it's a lot easier for you. For sure. And so, you know, kind of why did you think it happened a little bit for you guys? And how do you think this team has been able to avoid a little bit of that so far?
I think a lot of it is just freshmen kind of coming into the league early. I think we had a lot of true freshmen in our time, and it takes them a bit to get adjusted. Looking at this team now, they don't seem to have that adjustment period, which has been huge. But I feel like all of our teams, the freshmen took the first couple months to kind of get acclimated to everything, the systems, the school, the hockey part itself. And yeah, I think they've done a really good job of coming in and being immediate impacts, and it's shown on the record.
Nico, any thoughts?
No, I agree with that. I think there's a bit of a learning curve. Obviously, Tony and I are on the same page with most things that we do and talk about. But yeah, I think it's learning curve. It's coming together. There's a lot of moving pieces with every team, every sport, right? So obviously, the sooner you can figure it out, the better. But as long as we kind of figure it out before February turns, I don't know how late it's going to be this year with playoffs. But yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, the first rounders, I feel like, haven't had that much of an adjustment period. And I think they got, what, five of them or something. So I think that helps a little bit.
Yeah, they've got one of the more talented teams they've had in a while. You know, the interesting thing to me, guys, too, is that, you know, talking to Mel in the past, talking to, you know, Brian Wiseman, who left a year ago to coach coach the Edmonton Oilers, talking to Billy McCault, you know, he kind of looked at it and said, well, you know, it's actually the class coming in, the next one that they thought was going to be like the crazy talent that was going to change the game for them. But then, you know, they had a couple of things break their way, including getting Matty Beniers, who was, I believe, committed to Harvard before. And then with the Ivy League not playing, switched his commitment to Michigan. They pick up some other kids late. They've had outstanding goalie play, which we'll get to in a minute. And then you look at, like, what Kent Johnson and Thomas Bortoluu, two young freshmen, the numbers that they've already put up as rookies. And I think they might be a little bit ahead of their own projected curve right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they came in and they took advantage of their opportunity. I know freshmen come in and sometimes when they first get in, it's kind of scary and everything, but they've capitalized. And Coach Berenson and Coach Pearson both give you an opportunity when you first get there. It's what you do with it. It's kind of how you your next couple years go. So I think they've done a great job of capitalizing that, and hopefully they can keep it going. But I think, yeah, with COVID and getting veneers and, I mean, that freshman class is just so loaded that right now, if they can keep it going, they're going to be in a good spot.
Yeah, I'm looking at their stats right now, and their top four point producers on the team are all freshmen, which, you know, as good as they are, I mean, that doesn't happen a lot. And that's Thomas Bortoluu, who's got 10 points. Kent Johnson's got 9. Brendan Brisson, a big power forward, has got 7. And Matty Beniers with 6 points. I mean, they are loaded, and their ability to – one of the things that, you know, you guys certainly, know, I mean, you were on that line, Tony, the CCM line. But when you can spread that wealth out, when it's not just about one line having to get, you know, 4 or 5 points a night, how much more dangerous can you be when you've got that that depth across all four lines?
Oh, it makes it a lot easier. It makes it a lot easier for the top guys, too. I mean, if you have 3-4 lines going, the pressure's not on you every single night. I think they can relax and play their game. They don't have to worry about putting up 3-4 points a night to win a game. I think they can just kind of relax, play their game, and have fun. It makes it a lot easier with 4 lines.
Well, and the one thing they were doing really well until last night, of course, was their special teams were outstanding. And last night they lost 9-5 to Penn State in a high scoring game. Their penalty kill was not as good as it has been. How does a game, I mean, you know, Straussman has been outstanding. How does a game, you guys ever been involved in one of those where it got to like a crazy number? I mean, 14 goals scored between you. Like how does a game that normally the score is 4-2, 3-2 become a 14 goal game?
I think that was our entire sophomore year. Yeah. We were games like 7-5, you know, 7-6, 6-5.
Our freshman year, we actually put up 10 goals on Ohio State. I think it was.
Yeah.
Like we've had multiple games like that. Sometimes they just happen, you know, you can't really predict it. Some things go wrong, but the good thing is they scored 5. So, I mean, they were right in the game the whole time. So until the end there, but I mean, yeah, if they can outscore their mistakes, I think that's good. But last night they weren't able to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Nico, Tony had answered about how it's nice having the pressure, not so much on one line of 3 guys producing all the time. Obviously, I'm biased and love Michigan hockey, but I think we've had some of the deepest teams even in our years. And now, you know, you have USA hockey players that are in and out of the lineup. You have draft picks that are in and out of the lineup. You don't see that with other teams, right? You have you know, at times we have five lines that are all capable of playing and shutting down other teams, where I think teams that we play against don't have the depth that we've had. I think when you have your second, third, fourth lines producing sometimes more than your first, you know, it's a lethal weapon that we have.
Well, you guys, it's been an interesting season. And before we get to a couple of the mitigating, I want to ask you some big picture type stuff too. We would be remiss to talk about this team and the last two teams without mentioning Strauss Mann, who has been, you know, a year ago, I thought he, you know, moved into the conversation of one of the top 5 to 10 goalies in college hockey. You know, prior to last night when he had a rough game, you could have made the case that he was the best goalie in college hockey. What have you seen out of him these last 2 years? And certainly, you know, what does that do for a team when you have got a guy who is as locked in and has been as good as he has been these last year and a half?
Yeah, I mean, he just looks so sound in the net. He doesn't ever panic. He's very under control. And I think that's really fun to watch, honestly. And as when you're out there and you're playing, you know, you can make a mistake and he's going to bail you out. That's a very good feeling. You're not playing scared. You're not playing anything like that. You can go out there and play your game and you know that he's back there and he's going to bail you out. Last night's a fluke. I think that happens every once in a while. I mean, you can't expect him to get a shutout every game. He's been absolutely fantastic and a huge reason for their success. And yeah, he's been extremely fun to watch, and hopefully he can keep it going and bounce back from last night.
Yeah, Nico, it's interesting too, because you know, one of the freshmen that Michigan has on this team is a very, very highly regarded goalie, Eric Portillo, who got drafted by Buffalo. And, you know, I think when Michigan landed him as a commit a couple years ago, it was always like, well, he's the future of the position and he'll start from day one. And he arrives on the heels of Strauss Mann. And I mean, you know, you guys understand that too. When you've got a good name, a big name freshman coming in, it just pushes you to work that much harder and not give up your spot.
Absolutely. I think having competition within the team is a huge factor too. Like I said, we've always had that at every position, basically, at Michigan. It's contagious, and you see Strauss Mann's confidence in how he plays and his leadership. Obviously having a captain as a goalie is another, you know, big point that I think we haven't touched yet. He's everything he does is contagious. His confidence, his poise, his leadership. It goes a long way.
Well, gentlemen, certainly you guys are local. And you would have an opportunity, probably, you know, Michigan's played, I think, 4 home games so far. You'd have an opportunity to be over at Yost all the time. But this is a different year than any other year we've ever experienced. It's family members, have former players been allowed to step into the building as long as you distance, or are you guys been kind of kept at bay too?
Kept at bay.
Yeah, we haven't been able to go at all, which is unfortunate. We've been watching them at home, and yeah, we're hoping that everything works out here and we can get to a game soon.
Guys, you know, put yourself in their shoes. I mean, you know, just the entire experience. I mean, I don't know, did you guys ever take an online class at Michigan? You know, what is this like for them, do you think? I mean, you know, there's this amazing sense of camaraderie among the team, but you're also very isolated because you're told you can't go out, you can't socialize, you can't be with your fellow classmates. You essentially have to be a hockey player, and that's about it. You can't be a true student at University of Michigan right now.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's the best part about Michigan is you get best of both worlds. You get the social aspect and you get the hockey. And right now they have the hockey, which is great. The facilities are fantastic, which I'm sure other schools are kind of hurting. But no, I think the toughest part would be going out to Yost with the seats empty. I think that's the best part about college hockey is going out there and hearing the children of Yost and hearing the fans and everything. That's kind of the best part. So going out with an empty crowd has got to be a little tough. But they have to find their own motivation. And I think a lot of the USA guys, I think they have a little advantage there when they play at that Plymouth rink. They don't play in front of too many fans. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, the hockey comes out more. You don't have the crowd to pump you up. And I think it's been working for Michigan, I guess.
Yeah, Nico, I mean, you know, coming down that tunnel, those stairs, and the Victors playing, and the crowd goes nuts. And the Victors is still playing when they come down those stairs, but also they come out and it's just empty. I can't imagine what that is like.
No, I can't either. And luckily we didn't have to, but it's, there's no atmosphere like Yost. And it's, I think it's something that was used for our advantage too. Every home game, we had the upper hand. Other teams coming in to play against that, and you have the atmosphere that we had, is, it cannot be easy. We kind of had it, I guess, similar as like a Penn State, right? Where they just played, and I know it's a hard arena to play in typically. So I think it goes both ways, right? You don't have the home ice advantage on either side of it, but it's definitely not as fun. It's still obviously hockey and it's still the same game, but it definitely adds a nice touch when you have the arena with the energy that we used to have.
Yeah, we were talking about it actually, the Penn State arena, that's such a hard arena to play in. So in a situation like that, it might actually help, because with the roar zone and it's always a whiteout there, and it's one of the hardest buildings to play in. And if you could eliminate the crowd, I think it would have worked in our advantage a few times. But yeah, it was a weird situation last night with no fans there.
Well, our producer, Justin, his girlfriend works for Michigan marketing. And I want to know, Justin, you know, how come they haven't recorded? They've got the Victors playing. They've got like piped in crowd noise. How come they didn't record the Sia chant and play that every time that an opponent at Yost Arena goes to the penalty box? I mean, that just seems like, they should have done that. I mean, I guess maybe the problem would have been like in a quiet environment on TV, you probably would hear every single swear word. So maybe they want to avoid that, but certainly.
I mean, the children of Yost are the best student section out there. That's for sure. I mean, not even in college hockey, but in sports in general, it doesn't get better than the children of Yost. So I imagine playing without them has to be tough, honestly, because you're used to such a home ice advantage from them. And just like a raucous crowd, you know, where there is chirping and things like that. It has to be weird that the players can hear each other chirping more than ever before too, I bet.
Absolutely. Yep. I think the only time we faced that was like on a spring break or when the students were gone for like winter break, maybe we didn't have the children backing us up, but it's definitely a different atmosphere without them.
Yeah. And any player tells you they don't notice the crowd when they're out there is just lying. I mean, it's something, especially when you're at Yost and everyone's, the Hail of the Victors is going and stuff. That's something that really gets you going, especially in college hockey.
What is your guys' favorite chant from the children of Yost then? That you can say, I mean, you can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want. We swear on our podcast, so yeah. Feel free.
Yeah, obviously there's Sia chants. I was an 8-year-old kid in the crowd trying to memorize those words back in the day. So for that one, that'll always resonate with me. Just their creativity in general, yeah, though. They're so witty, you know, like we play certain teams. The research they do is so extensive. Props to them. It's an art, you know, and you have guys, you see NHL documentaries of guys that, you know, perfect the art of chirping. And it's, they're great at what they do. Love them.
I used to love when Carl Hagelin, and then you guys had someone from Sweden on your team too, right?
Adam Winborg. Yep.
Yeah. Adam Winborg. And I think maybe Eric Portillo might be from Sweden too. But they would bust out like the Swedish flag and they would actually sing the Swedish national anthem. Like, I mean, it's one thing to sing the Canadian national anthem. It's quite another to like bust out the Swedish national anthem before the game.
Yeah. Yeah, they were good. They were creative. And that's the best part, is you never really knew what you're going to get. So it was always kind of exciting to hear what they had come up with.
Gentlemen, I want to ask you before we jump into talking about e-commerce, I want to ask you two big picture things too that I'm would love to get your thoughts on. And one of them is this idea of name, image, and likeness that, you know, that has been really, really strongly being pushed right now. And, you know, supposedly there's going to be some legislation. States like Florida, North Carolina, and California are all introducing it, whether the NCAA does or not. But the NCAA is in a rush to get out there. And I actually, teaching a class at Michigan, we talked about this topic a lot. And a lot of people were like, well, football and basketball would benefit from it, but nobody else would. And I disagreed with that. And I wonder what you guys thought. I mean, there's certainly big names in Michigan hockey, in the college hockey community. Would, you know, do you think guys when you played, and do you think guys in the future would have been able to take advantage of name, image, and likeness?
Absolutely. I think so. You know, you have the star athletes, obviously they're going to get the better deals and the bigger contracts with whatever brands they are. I think if a jersey is sold with a number on it, you know whose number that is. It's not a random person's number. You know, it's, you know, Michigan football, you're going for X player, you know, that's X player's last name that's missing, but that's why you buy the jersey. You don't buy it with a random number on it or put your own number. I think it's a massive part of the game. I think limiting it and not allowing that is only, it causes more problems than it fixes. I think in general, student athletes, yeah, you have your scholarships. Yeah, you have your, you know, financial compensation. You have your meals, you have, you know, all the stuff that Michigan athletes and a lot of Division I athletes are granted with. But a personal example for me is I was obviously a walk-on, not a scholarship athlete at Michigan, and I was starting businesses where I wasn't able to promote them as my own. Wasn't able to post them on my socials, couldn't do anything because my name, image, and likeness was tied to Michigan athletics, right? So I think there's a bunch of different situations within it. You have your star athletes that can monetize it. You have your not star athletes that are trying to create their own images and you know, businesses. And I think it just inhibits growth. I think it inhibits a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Tony, you, your senior year, I got it wrong. You didn't play for the CCM line. You played for the CDM line, wasn't it?
DMC, yeah.
DMC line. Okay, yeah, because it was Dexter Danks, Tony Calderon, and Kuben Rohde. But you guys could have been clever. You could have, like, somehow become the CCM line, and CCM is a pretty big hockey apparel company. You know, if CCM had come to you, if you guys had had an advisor, had an agent that was able to represent you and said, hey, look, we want you to wear some gear. We want you to take to your social media profiles and, you know, once a week, every weekend on, you know, Friday and Saturdays, put up a post to wearing our gear, and we'll give you, say $10,000 for the season, each of you $10,000 for the season and like a 2% cut. You know, would you have jumped on that immediately?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. In college, I think you'll take any penny you can get. And yeah, that would have been really good to have. But I think in a way, kind of going through it all together without the financial benefits of a lot of things, I think is good in a way. I think it's good in hockey because a lot of these star athletes won't get as much money as like the football, basketball, or anything. So it'll kind of keep them level headed. But I know in pro, when the money starts to come about and everyone starts to talk about who's getting what and where it's coming from, it can really kind of create a divide. Mm-hmm. So I think in a way, college hockey was better because you're all in the same room. You're either on scholarship or you're not, and it's kind of a level playing field, and everyone kind of feels like level to everyone else. And I think that was a great part about college hockey. And I hope with all the likeness and things that money doesn't become too big of a factor in a lot of these kids' lives. Cause if they start making money in college and stuff, it's kind of easy to slip and think the money will always be there and maybe your school or something. So I think as long as they can keep the balance of paying athletes and keeping everyone on track, I think it's going to be really good. But I think it's just keeping everyone level-headed with all of that stuff is going to be kind of the issue. And hopefully they can kind of work that out.
Well, I think it's interesting too, what Nico said. I mean, the fact that you could have, you know, you would have liked to have done some, your own businesses, run some projects. I mean, do some things that the NCAA would not say like, hey, you can't make any money right now. You're a student athlete. I mean, you know, that to me has always been the unfair part about this is someone like even hosting a camp over the summer, you know, and not being able to benefit from it. But I do wonder too, to piggyback off of what Tony just said, Nico, I'd be curious. I mean, do you think it would be better in work easier in individual sports? There's a, you know, couple of track athletes at Michigan that have, you know, 40,000, 50,000 followers where, you know, I don't want to say that there's not a team aspect to the Michigan track and field team or to the tennis team, but a lot of it's an individual sport that gets added up together for a team score versus say hockey, where you got four lines and three lines of defensemen, and you've got all these people that are all needing to be kind of on the same page to be successful.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can do sport by sport. I think it makes things complicated because then you have, it's just another hierarchy of, oh, well, we're not football, we're not basketball, we're not hockey, we're not, you know, as you go down to, I guess, money generating sports, it's tough. I don't think you can blanket by sport. I think, yeah, you have individual, you know, let's just say track, tennis, for example, is golf. It only benefits the end user, right? And it's, if you're competing with other people on your team within that, you already have that organic competition, right? Like your teammates in every team sport, but at the same time, you go to practice, the person you're lining up against, you're competing against them for a spot. So I don't think it changes much on an individualistic sport level. And I think allowing those people with the 40, 50,000 followers, they have those followers for a reason, right? They've built their brand, and that brand doesn't last forever. There's a lot of athletes that work their whole lives to play college hockey. And if you don't have that four-year pedestal that you're on, we're able to monetize and capitalize on it. Not everyone plays pro. Not everyone makes their millions of dollars afterwards. And that's just reality of pro sports too. A lot of guys will play in the minors and never get their million-dollar stuff. But at the same time, they generate millions for the school. Why not be able to capitalize on it, right?
Well, I think this is a good segue to talk about Neecommerce, because while you represent businesses and their social media marketing, things like that, could you guys transition down the road here? Could you represent individual athletes and help them with their social media presence? And if let's take you know, Kent Johnson from the Michigan hockey team, and name, image, and likeness goes into effect, and he wants to build his Facebook and his Instagram and his TikTok, which is the only one I just can't do TikTok, guys. Sorry. But, you know, build all those things, his Twitter profile. You know, you guys are helping companies right now. Could you help individuals do that?
Absolutely. We've kind of talked about that. And if where, you know, if and when it is name, image, and likeness that's allowed to be promoted, what do we do? There's a few things we've kind of talked about. I've done it for a couple of Michigan graduates already that play in the NBA now. We can build out custom logos, right? So, let's say Ken Johnson, for example, wants his custom logo. We have designers that can make them their brand. They can put it on merchandise. We source merchandise in our company for other players. We can build them an online shop, make them a website, link up their profiles. We've talked to Cooper Marody a ton. He does a great job of branding himself as both a hockey player and a, you know, artist, musician. But at the same, you know, yeah, absolutely. I think you can build websites, you can brand, you can market, you can grow their reach. And again, it's only guys like that are obviously going to want to play for many years after Michigan, hopefully, but it's just a head start on their branding. I think you can, absolutely.
Well, guys, tell us about Neecommerce and how this kind of came to be. Nico, you have the entrepreneurial spirit. Your dad is a very successful businessman, and your mom, very successful business people in Ann Arbor. And so where did this idea come from, and how's it going? I mean, you know, how long have you guys been around? How do people get in contact with you? Give us the 411.
Yeah. So we've been around technically, Neecommerce started in quarter one of 2020. So a few months ago, Tony was finishing up his hockey career and I had called him, and he actually reached out to me last season, playing professionally. He had a lot of downtime during the day and he's like, "Hey, like, what can I do to help you out?" So that kind of just stuck with me. And I said, the second you're done playing, you know, I want you to come on and be a part of this team. So it started with, I've been big into e-commerce basically my whole life. I've sold stuff online since I was like 13 or 14. Started a couple of different brands, you know, scaled them up and exited, but it got to the point where I had friends and family reaching out for website help, for Facebook ads help, for, you know, growing followers. So I was doing a lot of it as goodwill and just kind of favors to friends and family, and then got to the point where I felt guilty charging money. So I was like, okay, now it's time to actually make this into a business, because I think I know what I'm doing enough to, you know, benefit off of it. And that's where Neecommerce kind of grew. We started with just us two, and now we have a few other team members that work with us. And we do everything from product sourcing, to branding, you know, merchandise, to building websites, running advertising for them, fulfilling orders for those clients in the warehouse we own in Sterling Heights. It's a full service menu of anything related to any kind of online business, you know.
That's awesome, man. It's great to see, because, I mean, clearly, you know, you guys epitomize what it means to be a student athlete at Michigan. You weren't just there to play hockey. You understood, like, hey, I've got this incredible opportunity to learn from some of the best and to make the most of this opportunity. And so as a fellow alum, I mean, it's great to see when people really apply themselves and then create something for themselves too. So, Tony, kind of, yeah, tell me, your role and, you know, what excites you about this company going forward here?
Yeah. So like Nico said, I was playing, I had a ton of downtime. I wasn't really doing anything. So I kind of reached out to him and see if he needed any help. So I started reaching out for a lot of the brands that he had and kind of getting influencers and getting people to post and kind of that route. And then once he offered me to come work for him, I was already done with hockey. And then I kind of walked into this with Nico, and kind of been learning along the way. I've been in it now for about like 6 or 7 months. So just kind of still getting my feet wet and learning a lot of the things, but I've been running a lot of Facebook ads and a lot of like talking to people and just website development stuff and that kind of stuff. So I'm still kind of getting my feet wet, really figuring out what my strong suit is, but Nico has had connections and all this stuff that he has a system for everything. So it's kind of fitting in, finding where I fit in and kind of going from there for me.
Yeah. And I mean, like that's the great thing is too, when you start something, you know, early on together, you'll both find your niche. And Nico, I mean, you mentioned you've got a couple other brands and stuff like this. I mean, is this just the start of the Nico Pericos, you know, business empire in Southeast Michigan?
I hope so. That's the goal. I definitely want a portfolio eventually and to be able to kind of cross-reference and use resources amongst a few different brands and clients. And that's kind of where we're heading right now. You know, obviously there's a lot of downsides to what we've had in 2020, but this is everyone's online and spending a ton of their time on their computer, which is selfishly been good for us. But it's just the changing landscape of how business is going to be operated. And a lot of it's going online. So I think it was just perfect timing and, you know, team expanding quickly and business growing, and it just kind of was a perfect world.
Yeah, I know. It's really cool. Guys, what's the best way for people to reach out to you and to get in touch? Obviously on LinkedIn, they can find you, Nico Pericos and Tony Calderon. What other avenues to get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, LinkedIn's great start. Our Instagram profiles, we're both at our full name, Tony Calderon, Nico Pericos. And then our website's necommerce.com. It's actually down for maintenance right now, but should be up later in the day. We're redoing a few things and adding some more features on there. So yeah, those are probably the main three.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, guys, wish you the best of luck here going forward. And I'm sure let's talk again. I mean, I think like every couple of weeks to bring you on and talk Michigan hockey would be great, because this looks like an exciting team and they're going to have a lot of fun, and we'll have to see. They're going to take a little bit of a break here after the Minnesota game, Minnesota series, and we'll just see what the second half of the schedule looks like. And as the Big Ten kind of figures that out, and, you know, I know we're all kind of like fingers crossed right now that they'll be able to keep on playing and compete for a national title this year. Certainly think with the goalie play, with those freshmen, with the balance, they can make a lot of noise this season.
Absolutely.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.